investment works.
The president's been very busy when it comes to the money department. First, it's jobs, and then, of course, it's the super committee working on what ails this country, meaning the deficit and cuts. But it is all about taxation, after all. And now the millionaire's tax coming your way soon. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. One of the biggest buzzes, heading into the weekend had to be the president. He's going to sell this in the beginning of the week. And what he's selling is, I think, a way to try to connect to the voters. Because if people are disenfranchised, unemployment is high, and you look at people in the poverty bracket and the people in the middle class bracket, you're opening up the let them eat cake syndrome by saying, you know what, absolutely, I agree with you. We have got to tax the millionaires. So anyone who's a millionaire, like my friend Warren Buffett, who said by raising his hand, tax me, tax me, tax me, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to tax all the people making over $1 million. No longer will they get the breaks of the capital gains and be in that 15%. No, they need to be somewhere in the 30s or at least somewhere in the 20-plus range percentage-wise. And then what will happen is, if this were to even pass, if the president, this is only suggestions on a possible bill, if this were to even pass, what you would have is, besides class warfare, you would have people that wouldn't have jobs. Because it's the instant excuse not to hire people and to get rid of people. Oof, our tax bracket went up. Here's what the bottom line is. Here's what we have to make up. So we're going to have to let go of some people so that we can meet our budget needs. Because we have to make our budget, unlike the government. And there you go. It's the instant excuse. Have to make the budget. Have to get rid of some people. Have to pare down salaries. That's what will happen. It will. And it's not defending the rich. Because, see, that, and this is what pits this whole thing, the Democrats and the Republicans, against each other. The Democrats will say, well, it's ridiculous because you're just letting the rich pay whatever they want, while the poor have to carry the nation on its back. And that's not true. What is true is we live in a capitalistic society, and if you want to get capital coming into your home, unless you already are independently wealthy, or you are in a situation where you're at a jumping off point, you're an entrepreneur, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you have a solid profession where the clients aren't running for the hills, then you're working for the man. And if you're working for the man, the man's got to be doing okay, or you're not going to be working for the man anymore. So it's, you know, it's all well and good to think, absolutely, I agree, jump on that, that's ridiculous, the rich get richer, and how, what about the rest of us? It's not that easy, because you're going to find that you're not going to have that job, and instead you're going to get that pink slip. And this isn't a lecture to all of you listening to me. You get the economics of this. This is just a way to pander, I believe, to the people who are feeling disenfranchised. It is a good, it makes for good speech. And he is good at speech. The president is very good at that. He's good at the change you can count on speeches, all of that. So now you go in front of the right people, and that's what you're saying. That's what you're pushing. Why do we constantly, you know, my friend Warren Buffett said, tax me, tax me, tax me. So I'm here to tell you, we're going to tax them. That's why they're calling it a Buffett tax. And Warren Buffett has said this for a very long time about his secretary and what she pays and what he pays and all that other sort of stuff. But the bottom line is, call it whatever you want to call it. But the proposal is to push tax on people who make more than $1 million so that we can help trim up the debt. Find a way to trim up the debt. And here's one way to do it. All the specifics of this are going to be laid out early in the morning on Monday as the president takes over the mics at the White House Rose Garden. And besides that, I think there's going to be a big push to raise tax revenue just in general as a way, you know, as a way to couple that with cuts in spending. So this is nothing new. This is what we've heard for a long time. Now, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, I'm curious as to his take on the plan, because he's saying no, 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 no to tax increases, that they're not viable to go that route. It's not viable. And then you got this bipartisan, supposedly, super committee, and they've got until November 23rd to reach some kind of a plan. And if they don't, then an automatic trigger jumps in and lops off some of the deficit. On taxes, this group is likely to probably decide to set targets for some big changes to be considered over the next year. But we've got a jobless rate that is well over 9.1%. So the economy is all anyone's talking about. And the last Bloomberg national poll, you know, the polls, that was done just a week ago, showed that 62% disapprove of the handling of the economy, the president's handling of the economy. The overall job approval rating, 45%, lowest since the president was inaugurated in January of 2009. I'm not going to bore you to death with numbers and pound you into the sand right at the top, but I got to throw this in. Gross domestic product climbed 1% annually in the second quarter, down from 1.3% before. I mean, the numbers are just so all of them are negative. Because I know you're curious about this, about 8.4 million U.S. households, by the way, had assets of 1 million or more. So if you fall into that category, that's what they're after. They're going to raise taxes on you, maybe, because there'd have to be enough support, and I don't think in the House there's going to be enough support for that. All right, to be sure, other things happen in the weekend, and because coming up next here in America Tonight, we're going to go to another version of We Can Count. Plus, we're going to let you hear in our weekly re-rack our conversation with Dennis Ball, who is running for president. Do you know who he is? We're going to introduce you to him. All kinds of people are running for president. And Jonathan Schatzner is going to join us, too, to talk about following the money when it comes to 9/11. That was one of the big things. And since I was just back in New York and saw how crazy it is down by the memorial now and everybody trying to just still make sense of what happened, he talks about what's going on monetarily in trying to trace future terrorists and that kind of thing. So stay with us. Coming up next, topping We Can Count, sadly, a tragedy. A plane in Reno at a big air show crashed, killing 9 people and taking out others. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Sadly, I am going to start on a very depressing note here. There's a pilot named Jimmy Leeward who made a bunch of changes to his P-51 Mustang plane, right? It's a World War II plane called the Galloping Ghost. So all kinds of overhauls, massive overhauls, including taking 10 feet off of the wingspan. And they're talking about what happened with the tail. So this vintage World War II fighter plane that was piloted by Leeward plunged into the grandstands during a very popular annual air show. It happened on Friday. And they were competing at this air show for $1 million. So, you know, a lot of astronauts, a lot of pilots will go and be part of these shows across the country. It's exciting to go and watch. I've talked about this now a couple of different times. I loved it when I was a kid. Boy, if you told me there was an air show, I would do whatever I had to do to get to that air show. And now I'm wondering how dangerous it is for the people on the ground. 9 people died. 69 people were treated at hospitals. Now, a big chunk of those people were released. They had stitches and that kind of thing, so like 36. But you still have 6 people that are in critical condition, don't know if they're going to make it. And by late afternoon on Sunday, this is from Friday, only 2 of the spectators that were killed had been identified. It was that awful because you had body parts all over the place. Now, they're saying that there were these memory cards that might have come from the plane. They were found there. And the Galloping Ghost had a camera that faced outward. But they say the cards are going to be analyzed to see if there's any other video, anything they can learn from this. But the belief is the alterations to the plane, and of course all the use of the plane, helped in what sadly happened here. And they're just looking at all the different angles of it. But when you, the modifications, most of the pilots that are hanging around or were hanging around the air show said they believe that this is what might have caused it to plunge because it's happened before to other people. And with the planes, you know, they're trying to get them lighter. They're trying to make them more aerodynamic and maneuverable. And that's apparently what happened here. And you just don't, you know, here's the thing about aircraft, and you know this because we've had many pilots on America Tonight. Denny Kelly comes by and talks to us about all kinds of things that have happened in planes. And he's said this before about planes flying now and how many hours are on those planes, the stress on the planes with the different weather conditions. Well, now here you could throw in the weather conditions. You could also talk about the hard landings. How many landings have these planes been involved in? They're 60 years old, some of these planes. And the body of the planes, what they've, part of that as well, what they've gone through. And they're pretty, you know, these, you don't make a ton of money racing. And it's tough to buy the planes, maintain them. People are doing it because they love it. A lot of astronauts, a lot of, as I said, a lot of various air people. And the guy who crashed Leeward was no rookie. He flew in 120 events. He had flown as a Hollywood stunt pilot and loved flying. And sadly, that doesn't help for the people in his family or the people lost on the ground. So will there be changes to air shows, or will there be some people that back out of air shows altogether? All right, let's turn our attention to a lighter note, shall we? Mad Men, once again, the series about Madison Avenue in the 60s won its fourth consecutive Best Drama on Sunday. And Modern Family, which maybe some of you watch Modern Family, received 5 Emmys. How about that? Also big winners, Kyle Chandler. He won Best Dramatic Actor for Friday Night Lights, a show that I watched all the way through. And I wonder how many people even, and I like Kyle Chandler, but how many people know Kyle Chandler? Another show that won was Julianne Margulies, who won for The Good Wife. That's about politics, of course. Politics, law, family, all kinds of stuff. And then there were a slew of other people that won for comedy and whatnot throughout the night. I won't go through this whole thing, since I'm sure many of you aren't big in the entertainment world or big in who did what at the shows. It's kind of interesting. Good writing. I think good writing should be, you know, that's what the shows, some of these shows I mentioned had good writing. And to me, that's what I think hooks you back into anything. Good writing, good writing, good writing. It always goes back to the same thing. Somebody must watch the award shows, though, even if all of us don't watch them, because they say it's an all-time low. But in 2008, they had 12.3 million who watched. And in the last couple of years, over 13, almost 14 million have watched. But how about that? I mean, listen, you take the television people, right? They're talking about fighting over scraps, 13, 14 million compared to 26 million for Grammys, 38 million for the Oscars. So what are you all doing out there? You're watching award shows. Stop it. Are you watching award shows? Is that the secret? All right, this is no secret. I'm going to bounce back to some news about a quake. A big quake hit India, Nepal, and China. 30 people, though, dead in this. When you think of the fact that this quake hit all three in a Himalayan area, and the fact that 30 people died, because you're talking about mountain remote communities, it's not good when anyone dies. But imagine if it had hit further down in other areas with massive population. 6.9 magnitude quake Sunday night. Landslides, damaged buildings, people frightened rushing into the street. And in China, they say 7 people were confirmed dead, 22 hurt in southern Tibet. Also, 7 people in India and 7 people, now they're saying, and another 7 people hit in Nepal as well. And, of course, whenever these things happen, when you have buildings that buckle, it's like we always say, or sidewalks are cracked open and roads collapse. You don't have a definite, you don't know how many for sure have lost their life as a result of this. So you send out the army, you send out the National Guard, you send out whoever, and in this case it's army. And they sent out 5,000 people to search for anyone pinned under falling debris. They were very, very concerned about the debris and that some people would be trapped and they wouldn't be able to be rescued because time would run out. But sure enough, they've been able to find some people anyway. I guess that's the great news in that one. And one last one for you. And again, I know this is, and I apologize for this. I know this is numbers and some of these numbers are heavy, but as much as we lighten the load here during this version of America Tonight, I thought it was, worth mentioning this. 5 bikers, because I know we have people listening in Tennessee, in Clarksville, Tennessee, 5 bikers were found dead on Sunday in a wreck vehicle at a Tennessee Speedway. And they say fumes from a generator were to blame. Oh, how tragic. 3 men and 2 women were in this RV, and they found them about noon, and there was no foul play or any of that. It was just one of those freak accidents, apparently, that this was a close family, and there was a married couple and 8-month-old twins. Oh, she was a school teacher. He drove a truck for a living, and it just so happens that they didn't properly close the small storage hatch on the RV and allowed the fumes from the generator to leak inside. And they say even the bikers who found the bodies had to go to the hospital because they were dizzy and lightheaded. And it's that carbon monoxide that gets into your system. Oh, just not thinking of that. And I'm sure, and unfortunately they came across them, and that's the condition they found them in. But luckily somebody found them anyway. Just be cautious when you're out there, and especially in the RVs. I've heard of similar stories like this one, although thank goodness they're far and few in between. Stay with us. Interesting guests coming up next here on America Tonight.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
OpsGear is your source for head-to-toe tactical gear. Save 15% on your order right now. This week only, radio listeners get their choice of OpsGear t-shirts for just $11.99. We've got shirts for military, law enforcement, zombie hunters, veterans, infidels, shooters, and more. Check them out at OpsGear.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout. That's GCN and save big on our exclusive t-shirts. Plus, we give away great gear each week. Visit us at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com or call 888-239-1384.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-460-5733 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. How often do I say on this show, follow the money, follow the money? And we've proven the point of where the money goes so often it leads us to the bad guy. Whoever it is we're looking for, whatever the circumstances, I think all of you know by now what I'm talking about. And, of course, throughout this hour we'll talk about some of those examples, as we always do. Jonathan Shanzer joins us now. He is the Vice President for Research at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And also, this is so interesting, he's a former terrorism finance analyst. Can you imagine that gig at the United States Department of Treasury? Jonathan, thanks so much for hopping on ATN.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. If we, you know, we just went through the 10-year anniversary, and I was thinking about this. I was in New York at the time. I worked all sports radio station, WFAN, in New York, but we just did away with sports for a while and talked about all aspects of what was unfolding before us. And that was one of the things that was one of the first things I did is I started to ask about the money. And then there was lots of reports on that. There was some good reporting actually being done talking about assets and freezing assets. So take us back for a second. It was just a couple weeks after a 9/11 that the president had an executive order, am I right, that had, of course, the list of terrorists entities, basically, that were on the hit list. And that's when we started to target the money, correct?
That's correct. I mean, actually, to be more precise, there was already an organization, a small organization within the Treasury Department, within the Office of Foreign Assets Control, that had already started tracking terrorist funds beginning in the late 1990s. But after the attacks of 2001, the president issued Executive Order 13224, and it listed, I think, 23 different terrorist organizations that we had already had our eyes on. And what it did is it immediately made it illegal to have any financial transactions with them, and that their assets were to be frozen here in the United States. And we continued to add to that annex, as we called it, that 13224 executive order, with additional terrorist organizations as well as individuals, and then later on charities and companies and other fronts that were involved in the financing of terror. The and quite frankly, it was one of the more successful operations of the U.S. government in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. You know, when you look back at the 9/11 report, those activities were one of the few things that the U.S. government did that earned high marks from that commission.
Yeah, absolutely. And you weren't surprised by the results that you found, right? Because it was like breadcrumbs to grandmother's house or right to the hornet's nest.
Well, that's right. And unfortunately, for us, the terrorists that were operating here in the United States did so with the knowledge that we just weren't doing anything about it, and they operated really in the light of day. And so in the early goings, we were able to shut down a number of charities and a number of high-profile cases where we were able to capture a good deal of money. And also, I mean, the upshot of terror finance activities is it also helps you draw a map. So if you can see where the finances are going, where, you know, where the money's being siphoned off, you can identify new nodes, and you can begin to focus in on those as well. And so we charted it out, and we were able to really crack down on a number of terrorist networks, from Al-Qaeda to Hamas to other organizations as well. And so for the first couple of years, it was a very successful endeavor, both in terms of identifying terrorists and capturing their cash.
Do you think, because I remember this, the story about Holy Land Foundation. Are you familiar with them?
Sure.
Out of Richardson, Texas. And an interesting twist on my own story is before I went to New York, I was doing a show in Dallas, Texas, and the Holy Land Foundation would hit us up because they would have this charity bowling tournament. And they, you know, there was this ruse of what they were doing for people, and they tried to appear very mainstream, had sent out lots of press releases and that kind of stuff. You know, I never got involved with them, but I am certain that other of my colleagues probably went out and supported some things that they were doing to raise money occasionally because they would have athletes or someone else involved. Was this ruse? I mean, obviously it worked. Were you surprised when you were able to pull back the layers of that when all that fell apart? Well, you're not surprised, right? Because that was the way they realized that what we were doing in the United States, philanthropically was so important that if you could just hook somebody in, there's your hook.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and all these organizations, you know, there was no charity that I ever saw while I worked at the Treasury Department that was 100% dedicated to the financing of terrorism. And so what you'd see is that these organizations would get involved in all sorts of philanthropic activities, and that they would be throwing off, you know, a percentage. Maybe it was 10%, maybe it was 20%, maybe it was 30%. But, you know, the money would be going to these terrorist charities. And this is what made our job that much harder, because at what point do you decide that a terrorist charity is rotten, or that a charity is a terrorist charity for that matter? You know, if 70% of what they do is good deeds and 30% is going off to terrorism, well, is that enough? And, you know, in the eyes of the U.S. Treasury, it absolutely is. But it made it that much harder because if you think about the optics, specifically among Muslims here in the United States or abroad, where giving charity, or zakat as it's called in Arabic, is one of the five pillars of Islam. And so for us to go around and shut down charities and to capture the funds of people who initially thought that they were earmarking it for good deeds, really was a black eye for the United States Treasury Department, and really made it look like we were very insensitive to Muslims. But the bottom line is that we realized that if you have a charity that brings in $30 million a year and they give off 30%, that's significant enough In fact, it's probably too much. And so we had to move forward anyway. And the Holy Land Foundation, I think, fit that mold exactly.
Al-Qaeda now, don't they, isn't it pretty much it would have to be cash is king for them? They've got to be smuggling cash somehow, and they've got to have, I would assume, some kind of courier system, not being able to use the banking system any longer in the U.S., am I right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing that we really began to realize by, I would say, even as early as 2004, maybe 2005. But, you know, by then, the terrorist organizations had realized that, you know, we were able to capture them. We were able to find them. And so it drove them out of the formal banking sector entirely. So, you know, they couldn't open up accounts and they wouldn't wire funds. And there were all sorts of strictures that we put in place. There were suspicious transactions that we would be following, you know, just large chunks of money. There was at least a predicate within the intelligence community to take a look at anything that was above a certain amount. So it became much, much harder for the terrorist organizations to work through the formal sector. And as a result, they now resort to what we call bulk cash smuggling. And that is really the only way that Al-Qaeda operates today. And that's just basically putting wads of cash into a suitcase and having one guy, a courier, take it across a border or take it across town to get to have cash move from one place to another. And, you know, unfortunately, we've become victims of our own success here in the United States. Because we've been effectively able to push them out of the formal sector, it's now very, very hard to find that money because, you know, cash has no receipts. There's no money trail. So either you have intelligence, you've got a beat on one of these couriers, and you're able to capture them, or begin to follow them, which is exactly what we did with Osama bin Laden, by the way. It was a courier that led to that raid in Abbottabad, Pakistan. You need to have good intelligence now, not just the ability to track the funds over the Internet.
Yeah, and do you think, because we talk about this, through my sources, and I think lots of people know this, it's been widely reported with sleeper cells and whatnot, it still has to be a little bit more difficult in the U.S., right? Wouldn't it be harder? Or is it still, hey, you can move cash in the U.S. too. If they're already here, there's ways to do that, like you said, through the bulk delivery, if you will, maybe by bus, maybe in different directions, not necessarily through the airport, because then with opening suitcases, even if you're just jumping from New York to L.A. or wherever, it might be more difficult. But do you think there's a lot of cash circulating in the U.S. that way?
I think so. I think it's very reasonable to believe that. I've been out of Treasury for several years, so I couldn't speak to anything specifically. But, you know, let's just put it this way, that if you wanted to move cash from Detroit to Minneapolis, all you have to do is ride it. And no one's going to stop you. There's no way to, you know, that anybody would have any tip on that, you know, unless you are already on the radar of the intelligence community, of the FBI. And it would really have to be an FBI issue, not so much a CIA one, if it was a domestic domestic case here. So it's very easy. And you know, we know, by the way, that this is not just a terrorist issue, that organized crime engages in this, and gangs engage in this, that if they want to make sure that their transactions are off the record, cash is the way to do it.
Yeah. Jonathan, before we let you fly, tell us quickly about the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. If you and I were in an elevator and I said, hey, Jonathan, what do you do? What would you say?
it's a nonpartisan organization that was founded just after 9/11 to study and warn Americans about the threat of jihadism and terrorism. And so we've got a former advisor to Dick Cheney. We've got a former CIA operative. We've got PhDs. We've got Treasury analysts. And all of us work on different areas of the Middle East, looking at the threats that these areas pose to the United States.
Yeah, so you find those threats and you pass them on to all the obviously various organizations that your backgrounds are in, correct?
That's right. We'll work with, you know, government organizations. We work very closely with Congress. And, of course, we publish widely. We write books and we'll appear on television and on radio. But the idea is really we're an educational organization designed to just shed light on a problem that 10 years ago very few people knew about. But even 10 years after 9/11, you'd be amazed at what Americans don't know about the threats that are posed to us from the Middle East.
I believe you.
Jonathan Shanzer, thanks so much. Will you come on again and enlighten us a little more?
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Energy, energy, and more energy. We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
As his theme song, Hail to the Chief, of course, means the president is coming, right? His name is Dennis Ball. Dennis is the founder of the American Party of America. What is that if you haven't heard of it? It is an independent third party. The gist of it is they believe that business, labor, and government have to work in the best interest of, well, you and me, children, parents, and grandparents. Hey, Dennis, welcome to ATN.
Thank you, Kate. Nice to be with you tonight.
What made you decide, hey, I am going to run for president? What was that turning point for you?
Well, this actually began in 1995 when I was put in the position, as most families, someone passes on, the mother or your father, and you find yourself in the middle of changes, big changes in your life. I mean, mega changes. And this was in southern Illinois, and my father had passed away. My mother had no one really to assist her in her life, and she needed a lot of help. She was aging in her life, and her health was failing. And actually, she and I were separated by 2,000 miles, and after I had buried my father, I assessed the situation a lot closer because I wasn't really close at hand during the time my parents were living together. So as a result, when he passed away, I made a lot of discoveries, and I really became attuned to my roots, to my heritage, and to the family that is so important in our culture, that which sustains our society and makes it what it is. And, of course, during that time, if you recall, it was during the Clinton administration when a lot of revelations were coming out about what was going on in the White House at that time with Bill Clinton that made me a little bit uneasy, uncomfortable, if you will, as to the ongoing or goings-on of those occupying the White House, to say the least.
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. Well, you know that everybody's worried about the economy tanking, what's going on with this crazily with what happened, of course, with our deficit, what continues to happen with the deficit. The unemployment numbers are ugly. I think, actually, Dennis, it's really higher than 9.1%. What do you say is what needs to be done to turn this ship around and how far we've gone off course?
Well, I mean, it's true that those who will not learn from history are doomed to repeat the failures of it. And obviously, the leaders in Washington at this time are in a crisis because they cannot seem to come together, and we have no real strong leader as we were thought to believe with Barack Obama in the executive branch of government. It's my belief that the president needs to lead by initiative. And precisely what we have here since the Clinton administration, Kate, is a breakdown of our economic base going to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Made in America is the issue. And unfortunately, what's happened is that corporate entities have used the good assets of our country to hurt the American working family. I would put tariffs right now on Chinese imports, and I would probably also do an economic freeze on prices to get control of this. I also have, if people go to ball2012.net, they will see that I also talk about halting the transfer of wealth on this energy issue regarding oil imports from the OPEC nations. I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it, gasoline prices have hurt the American family and continue to hurt the American family.
I agree. I want to go back to Red Dragon. You talk about Made in America. Dennis, I say it all the time. I challenged everyone listening to America Tonight to walk around their house and just for an hour lift up things to see how many things were actually made in China that maybe they didn't think were made in China, and their whole house had nothing in it that was made in America, right, except for themselves. So you're proposing a tariff on all Chinese imports immediately doing that.
Oh, you bet. You bet. We have got to get our people working again by recreating the economics that made our country great from the World War II generation. Let's face it, the United States outproduced the world in World War II. That's how we won those wars in two theaters. There were 16 million service people. A half a million of them passed away. They sacrificed themselves for our country, our families, our future, and not only they, but several other generations prior to them. Right now, our country is in a crisis because I'm afraid we have lost our way. I truly believe that. And the reason that this party exists, the American Party of America, exists because the family is in trouble. Business, labor, and government must be about the business of supporting the American family and the American working family and the American workers. We have an opportunity here to bring back our heritage, our culture, to what is a normal standard for a nuclear family, that is a man, a woman, and children. Thank you. where we have established a priority of standards by which to live and operate normally in, which used to be. Unfortunately, what's happened, I believe America has lost its way. We need to bring that back by showing people that the family is important, the how goes the family goes the country, and that the family requires certain things in order not only to survive, but also to thrive.
Yeah, very well said. I agree with the thriving statement, absolutely. The big news now, I'm going back to the economy, the Solyndra stuff, and the fact that apparently it was bankrupt, and here you and I and the taxpayers, the rest of the taxpayers listening right now to America Tonight, had to foot the bill for this. Of course, they're investigating what happened here. I mean, ridiculous. This just shows the same thing of what we were talking about, right? Now they're saying that in looking at this, and if you put all the pieces together, it goes all the way back to China again, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, I'm sure Richard Nixon, when he went to China to meet Chow in 72, did not go there with the attitude of disassembling American factories to go to foreign countries, especially China. I think what's going on is corporatism has taken over in America. Business, large business, big business, multi-corporations. If you listen to Pat Buchanan and some of the other people on the McLaughlin Report talk about multi-corporations taking advantage of the American people, which I truly think has happened. I think that, again, as President of the United States, I will put tariffs and slow this train down and get Made in America working again and bring in the American Party of America, the ANC, Kate, the American National Committee. I am the chairman of that committee. This committee is competing with the RNC and the DNC. What I'm asking now is the American people support this party. There needs to be an independent third party as though this was a corporation like Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler.
Whoa, what a way to end this. I agree. I am all about the third party. To find out more about Dennis, go to ball2012.net. Dennis, good luck, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, ball2012.net. You can find out more about him. Good for him for taking the initiative to step out there and decide to run. Because how often do I say this on the air, that if more people would just get involved, if more people would just find ways to drive the train instead of sitting there like a complacent passenger, maybe things would change. And all the kvetching we do and all the venting we do, we would see the light start to shine back in a lot of our neighborhoods, where now it's pretty dim, I have to say, pretty dim, especially with what's happening economically, because you can't help it. It's crippling. It's crippling to the families. It's crippling to all Americans who are just trying to figure out a way to survive. We shouldn't be just about surviving. We should really be about thriving. Hang with us. We're going to flip to the other side.